to the Mind Body Podcast, your rebellious podcast with me, your host, Maria, where it is all about a strong body, calm mind, healing, and full living. And today we're going to talk all about aging while we're having fun and we're happy and we're feeling good about ourselves. Our special guest is Darnell Cotts, who is a gerontologist and a healthy aging coach. Hello and welcome, Darnell.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
I'm so excited you're finally here. We've had to reschedule this a couple of times. So here we are, and we're going to make the most out of it. Yes,
we are. We got this.
All right. So let's start with getting to know you, Darnell. Give us three words and a little bit of a backstory behind each word to who Darnell is.
Okay. Three words. You know, us women, we're the one that hats. Three words. That's a hard thing to come by. I would say, above all, I'm passionate about what I do. I have a fire in my belly about what I do. I feel like at 55 years old, I have been doing this a long time. I feel like I came out of the womb searching for like chapstick and like healthy living and all that. It's just been kind of a part of who I am. And if you catch my Instagram lives on Saturday and Sunday, you can literally, the passion that I have eludes through, just goes right through the phone. So I'm definitely, above all, passionate. But I think, as well, as a healthy aging coach, you have to have empathy. So I would say that I'm empathetic. When I work on with clients one-on-one who are on this aging journey, there's a lot that goes on physically, mentally, mind, body, spirit, emotionally. There's a lot of things tied to that aging process. So to be able to have an empathy and compassion for those that I work with one-on-one, I think is super important. And then I think, last but not least, I'm an educator at heart. I feel like I'm continually in school, and I literally have been. So it's not only I feel like, I have literally always been in school. And I feel that there are so many amazing, ridiculously smart scientists out there in the longevity field, but being able to take the complexity of science and to be the middleman between the scientist and the consumer, or the scientist and humans that are on this aging path, to be able to bridge that gap is something that I love to do. So I'm an educator.
Yeah, I love it. I love your energy. I do have to say that you could totally feel your passion. And I can relate to that because I am crazy passionate about what I do. And I think I always am that passionate person in the room that no matter what, it could be the most boring topic. I'm like, let's bring the excitement. And people are like, it's not that exciting. I'm like, well, we can make it exciting. Right? And exactly. Yeah. And I love that you brought the word empathy, because I think when you work with people, especially who might be dealing with, you know, I mean, the one thing that came to mind when you brought empathy and talk about people going through their journey, like I work with people on a physical level, mental level, emotional level, there is so much that the world tells us how we should look, what we should do. And there are so many stereotypes. And like a lot of my crowd is females who are going through changes in their life, right? Yeah. Their bodies are changing. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm going premenopause. And it's like, whoa, like what is happening?
Oh, Maria, I'm in it. I'm in the thick of it. At 55 years old, I am in menopause right now.
Yeah. And it's like, and you know what? It's like, it's okay to embrace it for what it is. I mean, it's okay to say, you know what? Your body will change. Things will change, but that's okay. It doesn't mean you give up on life. So yeah. Let's talk about that, because you take care of yourself. And let's talk about like self-care and what it takes to age well, because I talk a lot about, you know, it's not about how many years that you live, but it's how you live those years that you live.
Exactly. And that all comes down to, what are we doing proactively to age? Because aging is a verb. It is something that happens, right? And are we going to stick our head in the sand and just let those years go by? Or are we actively doing stuff with lifestyle changes and being, you know, really passionate, not only passionate, but like we have passion for all different kinds of things. Why aren't we passionate about our own self-care? There's only one of us. We have the privilege of having this one body, this one spirit, this one mind, and a set number of years on the planet in which to get soak everything out of it, life that we want. But what you're doing to yourself today, and I always say, like, you're never too young to think about getting old. Because the choices that you're making today, those lifestyle habits, that self-care affects how you're going to age in the future. So we have a tendency in this country and around the world to not want to think about aging. We put our head in the sand and then we fast forward through menopause and all of a sudden it's like we see a picture of ourselves or we get a glimpse in a mirror, a dressing room mirror, or on just even, you know, anywhere we get this glimpse of ourselves and we're like, what the heck happened? It just went by. And so who is this person in the mirror? What happened to me? That is sticking your head in the sand and not really being aware of what happens in the aging process and doing all that you can in the process of aging, because aging is that active verb. What are you doing actively to make your state when you're older to be the best that it can, extending not only the number of years on the planet, but the health that you're having in those years. So I like to explain it like, I want to extend people's lifespan, but also their health span so that they're free of disability and pain and all of that right up until the end.
Yeah.
And so my self-care list is long.
You know, I talked to my daughter, I have a teen, and I talked to her about lifestyle change, because, you know, when you're young, you can eat whatever, you don't have to sleep, you can function just fine. When you hit like 40s and up, it's a very different ball game, right? You start seeing things changing, your body doesn't process things the same way. It's a different ball game.
Yeah. However, and cardiovascular disease doesn't start in old age. Cardiovascular disease starts when you're young. So it's even if I can get my hands on a 20-year-old and say like, oh, let me help you live longer and better and look great while you're doing it. That's where I find like my passion. It's like those little things that you can change, because aging starts from the moment you're born.
You know what? I tell that to my young clients, that as they're entering into adulting and as life gets busy and they're like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, listen, life is only going to get busier. So the habits that you establish now that will help you feel good, be healthy. Yeah. It is so key, because what happens to a lot of people? They start figuring out, oh, I have to change my lifestyle because now I'm dealing with this chronic condition. And it's a reactive response to something versus a proactive. And people don't think that the investments in time and money short term are actually going to pay off in the long term.
100%.
100%.
Right. What do you think affects tomorrow?
Yeah. So let's talk about the lifestyle habits that you work on with people, because I always tell people it's not that hard. It's the basics.
It's not only is it the basics, but when something becomes a lifestyle habit, it's not like you're having to even think about it. It's just living, right? So I live my life in a way that's different than a lot of people who have their head in the sand and they don't want to think about growing old. It's just, you know, you have a choice in the morning. I have a choice in the morning. When I get up in the morning, I have a choice. Do I jump in the shower in a nice, comfortable, warm shower and take my time? Or do I jump into a freezing cold shower for 3 minutes, which boosts my metabolism? The amount of time that I spend in the shower in the morning is probably much less than somebody taking a very warm shower. But it's those little tiny choices, right? That for me, that's not taking any more time. I'm taking a freezing cold shower. When I get out of the shower, I've got a red light panel there, which I'm big on red light therapy, because not only does it help the outsides with fine lines and wrinkles and skin tone and texture and all of that, but it helps on a cellular level with increasing ATP production and circulation and decreasing inflammation. So there's a lot involved in that. But while I'm putting on my skincare after my freezing cold shower, I've got red light therapy blasting on me. Doesn't take any more time than I would if I would normally put on my skincare. And then this is the part that I think is like, this is where I pull people in with skincare and then I get them to live longer. So my skincare routine, I've got like a whole calendar here.
Oh, wow.
This is my protocol for skincare. And the reason why I like to focus on skincare, as well as cardiovascular health, as well as bone density, as well as like stress relief. There's all these kinds of things that you can focus on that keep you living on the planet longer, right? But skin is our largest organ. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not giving it the self-care that it deserves, we're losing that opportunity to feel better about ourselves. Just like, you know, you don't want to, what you're doing in your youth is lining your arteries and contributing to cardiovascular disease. How you're taking care of your skin now is going to affect what you look like when you're older. And what I've learned in my 55 years on the planet is, and with a graduate degree also in psychology, along with the gerontology, is that what we look like on the outside, good, bad, and ugly, is tied to how we feel on the inside. And if you can't really put those two and two together, think about like if you've had a really bad hair day, or like me, I just got done microneedling. I had a microneedling session yesterday, and I thought, do I cancel this podcast, or I just go like, nope, this is part of my life. I'm doing it, and I'm here. I am. So if you look at my neck, I've got like microneedling marks on me. But to do that, like to make sure that you're also dedicating a little bit of time for your skincare, it is our largest organ. It's our outward facing organ. It is that organ which is tied to our self-esteem. Nobody really says like, oh my gosh, you should look at my heart. You should look at my bone density. Yay me. But when somebody walks out the door, you're like, my skin, my hair, like that is what we present to the world. And so it's closely tied to our self-esteem. You have a bad hair day, or if you've got like microneedling marks all over you, you've got like a pimple, you're not taking care of yourself, you're more likely to sit your butt down in front of Netflix and binge watch something while you're eating a tub of ice cream. But if you feel good about yourself on the outside, if you're taking care of your insides, you're taking care of your outsides, you're more likely to get to the gym, right? You're more likely to take care of what you're eating and things like that. So everything is all tied together. It's an inside out and an outside in approach to aging.
You know what's so interesting? I had a friend text me a couple of weeks ago, and she goes, are you doing Botox? And I'm like, I actually am not. I am doing some laser work, but I'm not injecting anything in my face. And I have, you know how on your phone, like memories pop up, and I'm like, oh man, like I do look better than like 10 years ago. And I think that has to do with what you're saying. It's how do you feel on the inside projects out into how you feel onto the outside. Yeah. So when you're happy and fulfilled, you're right. You're more motivated to like, I'm going to go get my walk. I'm going to go get my run. I'm going to do my Pilates workout, right? Yeah. I'm going to be more conscious about like the choices that I make, and also be more aware of how my choices affect me, right? So I'm talking to my teen daughter. She's like, mom, I'm breaking out. And I'm like, and she wants to buy off these products, which I'm like, it's great. But what you have to realize is that your skin is also a reflection of what you put inside.
100%. What we eat and how we treat our body shines through our skin. And how we treat the outside makes us make better choices about what we're doing on the inside. So our skin is a reflection of our health. But like you, I'm sure you know this, the hardest part about starting anything, let's say, for example, an exercise program. The hardest part about starting an exercise program is that first step, right? So it's not only the first step psychologically of how do we get in there, but also if you're just starting, you're not in the best shape of your life. Mm-hmm. There are mirrors in gyms, and it's oftentimes discouraging. And this is sometimes something that I help my clients, my one-on-one clients, kind of overcome. It's discouraging sometimes to walk into a gym with the intention of doing something good for our bodies. And we see the reflection in the mirror and it's so discouraging. But how much easier is it to get to the gym when you're loving what you're looking like on the outside? You're already in that process. You're a couple months in, you're seeing the muscle definition, you're feeling better. So much easier to walk into the gym. So our outsides are very much tied to our insides.
Yeah. And you know what I tell people who are starting a journey? It's like, well, it took habits to get to here, right? Do we all want to look good? Yes. But there are habits that help us and there are choices. I think that's a very important word to, you know, how we feel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, is it easier to go to the gym or go for a walk or go for a run or to sit and catch an episode of whatever you recorded?
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, listen, we're all humans. I have those days where I'm like, you know what? I make it a thing one day a week, it's a rest day. And when I say a rest day, that's like, I can go for a light walk or something like that, but it's not a workout. But to the point you made earlier, for me, it's such a habit to work out that I don't think like, oh my gosh, I have to go work out. For me, it's like, now is the time to do my thing that I do every day.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Not big deal. And the other point is, there is also, which you probably agree with that, is when you feel good, when you, you know, it's like you go to the gym and you're like, oh, I feel so good. I feel toned, right? You feel like, oh, I got this. Versus if you just sit on the couch day after day, it's not so easy to get back into the gym because your hormones are changing the way you feel about yourself. And you're like, why bother? I've tried that before.
That's
so
true.
So much better when you create those habits. I always tell people, once you fall in love with movement, you never, ever have to exercise a day in your life.
Never. You never have to exercise a day in your life. I never have to push myself to go to the gym. When I'm unable to, I don't feel great anymore, right? Yeah. I don't feel great. But those little habits, they're not more time consuming. Like I said about this, 30 minutes a day I spend on skincare. I film a lot of stuff on skincare, but I don't spend more than 30 minutes a day, but it's how are you doing it? How are you incorporating that into your life to where it doesn't feel like you're constantly having to do stuff, right? If for example, if you are need to meditate, there's so many people that can't meditate. Either they can't sit still or they can't stop their mind from racing. There's so many different little hacks that you can do to still get that kind of stress relief and decompression and meditation and mindfulness in. You just have to find the right way. And once you do, for example, I have a client that can't, her mind's always racing. She can't sit still. And so I said, here's the thing. Let's try walking meditation. Mm-hmm. So now I have her walking and counting the number of steps. So she'll inhale while she's walking. Inhale for 4 steps. 1, 2, 3. 4, exhale for 4 steps. And so in that way, you're having the same distance, the same amount of inhales as you are exhales time-wise. You're matching your inhales and exhales and you're moving through it. And so in counting and in moving, it's very hard. It's very difficult in counting and in moving and in breathing to then think about what do you have to get from the grocery store, right? So it's there's these little tiny hacks to get it to where you can incorporate healthy lifestyle hacks that aren't going to necessarily take you any more time or impinge on your life. It just becomes your way of life. And that's how
it's so interesting because when I start the movement sessions, whether they're private or group, I tell people now the next hour is about your body and we're going to focus on your alignment, which muscles you're using so that you can be totally in tune with what you're doing versus your mind racing about what's for dinner and what's for breakfast and the kids and the work and so forth. So in the example that you gave, I love that because there's so many people who walk and they're not even present into their walk. They're on the phone, they're distracted. They're not even aware of the greenery around or the birds or the squirrels or anything that's happening around them. So getting the mind to focus on a particular activity, I mean, I'll tell you, I find this very calming. Just holding my cup and I have lemon inside and warm water.
Yeah.
That is so therapeutic to me and so relaxing. Does it take any more time? I'm doing it as we're speaking on a podcast recording, right?
Exactly. But it's that tactile stimulation of like you feel the warm mug, you're smelling the lemon, you're holding it. So there's all of that that makes it to where, you know, you can.
My senses are involved. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to throw out there is, so I'll tell you, my skincare does not take 30 minutes a day. I'm like, oh, 30 minutes a day. I'm very intentional about my skincare and I have my routine. But I think it's also important to note about, you brought me meditation, is to find a routine that works for you, right? So whatever, you know, maybe I'll tell you, my ex-roommate, she is all into skincare. I mean, we were in our 20s and she would get up 2 hours before work to do her skincare. And we were in our 20s. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was like 15 minutes before I have to get out of the door. Yes. But for her skincare, and that was her like calming ritual, like her routine, something that's works for her to this day. She right. amazes me, right? Like for me, I don't know, maybe I can work to 30 minutes a day. But like for me, my movement is my thing.
Yes, but 30 minutes a day is like any, if you're putting on sunscreen, which you should, that's considered skincare, right? When you're washing your face, when you're soaking in a hot bath, or you're taking a 3-minute cold shower, that's all skincare. My skincare has been incorporated so much into my lifestyle that when I look at it, when I teach people this through my Instagram lives every weekend, this kind of thing is one of the main topics that I talk about, because we do give a lot of time and effort, and we don't think about it when we're talking about improving our cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
Or we're talking about like, we need to make sure that our bones, we have bone density right as we age, so we don't have osteoporosis or osteopenia. So there's a lot of stuff that we do in terms of that stress reduction, but we're not spending any, we get criticized for self-care when it comes to our outsides. Why can't you just age gracefully? I'm aging as gracefully as a freaking ballerina at this point, because I'm doing all of the self-care. My head's not in the sand. I know exactly what's going on. I know how to take care of my bones and my brain health and my heart and my skin, which is its largest organ. Because if you don't think that your skin or your outward appearance is tied to what you do in the day, we've already discussed, it's so tied to what you do in the day, right? And that when you get older has to do with social connectivity and all of that stuff, you know, that happens as we get older. We kind of lose that kind of social connection with a lot of things, a lot of people. And so making sure that we're not only taking care of our insides, but we're taking care of our outsides, because we know how those are connected, is super important.
You know, I think it's also very important in the context, especially of aging. I mean, your body changes, your skin changes, like things change. It's okay to want to look good.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, I was talking to a friend about swimsuits, and she said she's wearing, what is that called? You know, where the really low tankini, is that what it is called?
Oh, the tankinis, yes.
Yeah. And I was like, no. I was like, to me, that's like giving up. I was like, that's not the judgment, that's me. Like, yeah. Right? I want to be motivated to look into wear my skimpy bikini. Don't judge me, that's how I feel good, right? And I think that's important.
It's a choice. It's important. And I think we need to respect people's choices of how, listen, nobody's going to walk that walk for you down towards old age, but with a little luck, that's where we're all headed. We're going to be wrinkly old ladies one day, but yeah. How we feel at 80 or 90 or 100, how you and I feel is very different than if we weren't taking those healthy lifestyle choices, how we're going to look, how we feel, because it's all connected. You know, yeah. If you think that what you ingest isn't connected with your skin, try giving up alcohol for 3 weeks and look at your skin.
Lucky, that's not my thing. Sugar is my thing. I don't, you know, I would skip alcohol anytime for some ice cream, you know, that's my thing. But which, you know, sugar is something that causes inflammation that is not good for your skin. Like teenagers, the preservatives that are in our foods are not good for our skin. I mean, we can do a whole topic around that.
100%. But, and then how do you, you know, because we want to live and we want those pleasures in life.
Yeah.
How do you still have your ice cream, but do it in such a way that it's not going to spike your blood glucose level out of control? You have to have that fiber first. You want to have those vegetables first so that it mitigates the way that that sugar hits your bloodstream. And the slower that the sugar hits your bloodstream, the less likely it is to spike your glucose levels. Yeah. And cause aging, glycation and aging. Yeah. So,
and I would say a big one for me is moderation, right? Not don't have ice cream every day. Don't have, like a friend asked me, she's like, do you eat pizza? I'm like, I do. I don't eat pizza every day. But, you know, I do enjoy life to the fullest. I'll have a glass of wine. I'll have a cocktail. I'll have ice cream. And those are like the fun parts of life. I'm not going to skip on all of that to be a certain way. But it's a balanced act, right? It doesn't mean Don't do this ever. Don't do that. Like, I'll never be that girl who never has ice cream
No, and
to bikini.
I do a lot of posts on that. You know, there's only a handful of holidays that we have here in the States where it calls on you to eat, right? You're supposed to eat on these particular days, whether it's Labor Day or it's Christmas or Halloween, we've got the candy.
With the
candy. And that's okay. It's okay to do that. It gives you the opportunity for the other, you know, 350 something days to be spot on with your diet, but we got to live. It's about.
Got to live. That's important. Yes. So leave us with a piece of wisdom or a favorite quote, Darnell.
Oh my God. I was going to say my favorite quote, but I don't know. I don't know if this is the right place, but I'm
just go for it. I mean, this is the Rebellious Podcast. There are
I don't
no
know if it's a quote, but it's kind of my mantra. Oh, God, so embarrassing. My mantra is chin up, tits out. You got this.
Ha, I like that. Chin up, tits out. You got this. Okay. Yeah, we have something in the studio. We call it PTO, pop them out. So there we go. It's like
I mean, it's kind of like you're going to be faced with, listen, life is not easy sometimes. It's just not easy. And so to have that mentality of like, I am a warrior. I'm a mother of three. I'm 55 years on this planet. I have been through some shit, right? Like we all have, like women all have. And I think that if you can just face that day with chin up, tits out, I got this. I know I will get through this. You can face anything.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that because sometimes you get it with clients into conversation, but you know, I'm a woman in a man's world and all of that stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You've got boobs, perk them up. Moving forward. I mean, and I believe that, you know, like own it. You've got boobs, own it and move forward. And life will be so much more beautiful when you own it.
Yeah.
So high five. I like that. All right. Tell us, Darnell, what is your definition of rebellious?
I think, well, rebellious is going against the status quo, right? And I think that there is such pressure on women to age gracefully. And I feel like aging gracefully needs to be redefined in the 21st century. Because it's not about just letting yourself go. Letting yourself go is not aging gracefully to me. That's being in denial that we're going to end up 80, 90, 100 years old. And so if you get that, if you have that mindset of this is where I'm going, what is the healthiest way for me to get there and be intact at the same time? I mean, I think that the whole notion of I should be ashamed to take care of my outsides is such bullshit. Because it is our skin and our outward appearance. With a graduate degree in psychology, I know how important that is to movement, to health, to choosing what we put in our mouths. I think it's also important, but being rebellious in the face of people saying, why don't you just age gracefully? Why don't you just age gracefully? And having to stand up and say, I am, it might be a different path than you, but that's exactly what I'm doing. That I think is rebellious.
I agree. And you know, it's so interesting because I've never thought about aging gracefully the way you define it. And I actually use that aging gracefully. And to me, actually, aging gracefully is take care of yourself, prioritize yourself, feel good about yourself. So it's very interesting how, you know, like how are we mean the same thing, but our definitions are different. Yeah, I'm all for feeling good. I mean, one of my taglines is, what was the last time you felt really good? It's as basic as that.
I feel really good now being here with you.
Yeah, this was such a great episode. I love it. Darnell, tell people where again they find you online.
Well, I'm all over the place on social media at Live Young Lifestyle. I mostly hang out in Instagram, but you can find me on liveyounglifestyle.com, my website. And I'm live every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Instagram Live. So that's where I'm really finding my passion as an educator. So I hope to see you guys there.
Fun. Darnell, thank you so much for your time and being here and for sharing your energy and enthusiasm and passion. Do hope, especially you ladies, enjoy that because I totally did. And you guys know, if you have any questions, certainly ask them. Darnell, thank you again. And you guys know the spiel. Stay rebellious. We'll see you next time.